From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, December 28th, 2020. The Maine Center for Disease Control reported another 439 cases of COVID-19 today and three more deaths, bringing that number to 326. The state now has seen more than 22,000 cases. Maine health officials are urging patients as they continue to roll out the vaccine to the highest priority populations. So far, about 130,000 people have received the vaccine, but smaller allocations than expected mean not all healthcare workers can get it right now. The Maine Department of Labor says the newly signed federal stimulus bill will provide needed assistance for thousands of unemployed Mainers, but many won't receive benefits for at least a week. The stimulus bill extends federal unemployment programs through mid-March and also provides an additional $300 a week. But the bill was signed by President Trump on Sunday night, a day after the programs had already expired. Maine Labor Commissioner Laura Fortman says the department's now seeking information from federal officials on when exactly the program should begin.
And we've heard conflicting information, and we've requested clarification from the U.S. Department of Labor in writing.
Fortman says federal officials have told her that at least some of the guidance should be available to states by the end of this week. In the meantime, the department is encouraging Mainers to keep filing weekly certifications so they can receive payments as soon as possible. And in 2019, crime in Maine fell for the eighth straight year. In a report released today, the Maine Department of Public Safety says the overall crime rate declined by more than 6% last year. Since 2012, crimes have fallen by more than 56%. Commissioner Michael Soschuk says the decrease is due to several factors, but he says some of it could be traced back to better information sharing and collaboration across departments.
And those things have always happened. It's just I think they're happening more and more all the time. And I think that's impressive to see.
While the overall crime rate fell, violent crime did rise by 3% in 2019. Cases of rape increased by 15%. Advocates say that increase could be the result of more reporting of cases, which is a positive. More than 18,000 crimes were reported in Maine last year. That's equivalent to about 14 per 1,000 people. That's far lower than the average national rate. Looking at weather tonight, snow over the mountains with skies clearing in the south and lows in the mid-teens to the low 30s. Tomorrow, partly sunny to partly cloudy north in mountains. Otherwise, mostly sunny. Windy statewide with highs in the high teens to the mid-30s. Last year, Maine's Democratic legislature and governor enacted a grab bag of programs aimed at bringing more solar power online in Maine. The new legislation produced some quick, high-value projects, some duds, and a debate over what lessons lawmakers should bring into the next legislative session. Fred Bepper has more.
Last month, Maine's Public Utilities Commission released a report finding that if all of the small to mid-sized commercial and community solar projects on the table were to be actually built, the state's major utilities could lose up to $160 million a year in revenues. That's a cost that would be passed on to electricity consumers. But solar industry advocates say those numbers are vastly exaggerated, and they are pointing to another recent analysis that tells a different side of the story.
What the analysis shows is that there are clear monetizable benefits to all ratepayers of behind-the-meter solar.
Fortunat Mueller is co-founder of Revision Energy, Maine's largest solar installer. He says a recent report by Cambridge-based consultant Synapse shows that over a five-year period, new solar projects in the region saved consumers more than $1 billion, including $68 million in Maine.
And unlike the PUC's report, which is a sort of 20-year forward-looking guess at what those costs will be, this is actual savings over the last 5 years from actual systems.
Mueller says so-called behind-the-meter solar power systems save money by reducing the amount of electricity that transmission utilities need to buy from the regional energy grid. Any big reduction in demand or increase in supply, for that matter, can lower wholesale energy prices.
Any large resources brought onto the system will reduce prices, so that's fairly typical.
Portland attorney David Littell is a former Maine regulator who now consults with governments and industry on energy issues.
What you see with solar is you see several effects where solar's not just reducing the price from the new resources brought on the system. It's also reducing the price during a key time in the day when the prices are highest. Our summer peak time is still the highest priced time of the year.
And advocates argue there are other benefits from solar energy, such as job creation or reducing transmission and distribution costs by providing more diversity on the system and creating a source of energy generation that's physically close to the users who need it. But perhaps most important, the new report finds, is the reduction of pollutants that harm human health and drive global warming. It estimates the value of New England Solar's contributions toward that effort at more than $600 million over the past 5 years.
You know, over the course of the next 20 years, Maine should be building about 250 to 350 megawatts of solar every single year for the next 20 years.
Revision Energy's Fortunat Mueller says that's enough new solar to power tens of thousands of homes or tens of thousands of new electric cars, and make it realistic to reach the state's goal of carbon neutrality by 2045. But some question the state incentives called net energy billing, which give the small and mid-sized solar generators retail-priced credits for excess power they supply to the grid.
We have to accept the principle of doing climate based on price efficiency.
Tony Buxton, a lobbyist for the Industrial Energy Consumers Group, is laser-focused on the price side of the equation. He says the state should focus on larger scale projects that can produce solar energy at a lower cost without depending on bill credits.
We need to do far more than we're doing, and we won't be able to afford it if we aren't careful about what we spend. When you spend five times as much for solar, you can buy only one-fifth as much solar.
Buxton raised hackles in the environmental community recently when he called the surge in incentivized solar projects a climate mistake. The debate will resurface in the new year as lawmakers revisit the renewable energy policies they enacted in 2019 and look for lessons learned and possible improvements. Representative Seth Berry, who co-chairs the legislature's Energy and Utilities Committee, says he will introduce a bill that would press the pause button on new net energy billing projects above 2 megawatts, but he would preserve the system for smaller arrays.
I absolutely do not believe that we need to get away from net energy billing. I think net energy billing remains a good deal for all of us. But there may be some limited areas where NEB is not the right tool for the job.
Even before the legislature convenes, it's expected that more studies of the true costs and benefits of solar power will emerge. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, you can go to mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow morning at 11 for Maine Calling. I'm Nora Flaherty.